Hi, welcome back to another episode of The Rugged Gospel. Let's get right into today's episode.
Welcome to another episode of The Rugged Gospel. So, it's Tuesday, and just like Monday, it does not have a historic or a cool name like Palm Sunday. So, here, the conflict, the actions are very much escalating, and some unusual bad fellows have come together at this point and have become allies against Jesus. You have the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the elders, the scribes, and various religious leaders that have come together acknowledging that Jesus, well, has to go. He has to die. And what can we do to make this happen, right? So they come up with four pretty elaborate traps for Jesus that, of course, he evades like he always does. Today, we're going to call this Tuesday Entrapment Tuesday. So they come up with these four traps for Jesus. And again, the day begins, according to Mark, with Jesus and his disciples walking from Bethany to Jerusalem. And on the way, they visit the fig tree again. If you heard yesterday's, you remember us mentioning the fig tree, but not mentioning why he was cursing the tree. So the fig tree is at this time withered, and Jesus confirms that this tree represents Israel and that there will be judgment that happens against the temple system. Jesus is saying that the problem with the temple system is that, just like the fig tree, it's not producing any fruit. He's saying that these religious leaders have pretty much hijacked the faith that has been handed down to them all the way from Abraham. Not only are the religious leaders wrong, but Jesus and the disciples are trying to create, or what they're trying to create, is almost the opposite of what these leaders are doing, right? So they approach the holy city, and crowds start to gather again, just like yesterday. And I'm sure the disciples are even more on alert now, since, you know, you have Sunday with the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And then you have Monday, right, where he's just throwing everything everywhere. And now I'm sure that they're even more alert. They're probably looking around, seeing if anybody's coming for Jesus, right? And so these leaders are trying to corner Jesus and trying to trick him into saying that he did something, right? So that they can now have a reason to get rid of him. And well, of course, like I mentioned earlier, there's many of them. So they're trying every trap that they can, so one of these groups can try him, right? And so trap number one is, by whose authority, right? So they ask him, in whose authority did you do everything you did at the temple yesterday? Jesus doesn't really take the bait, right? And he turns it on them and says, was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? Jesus knows that either way that they answer, they are pretty much in trouble. Because if they say that the baptism from John was from heaven, then he can say that that is where God said, this is my son in which I am well pleased. And where the Holy Spirit also descended visibly like a dove, and maybe say, why do you not listen then, right? But if they say that the baptism was for men, and then that it doesn't come from heaven or from God, then they would be saying that the man that is revered by many and said to be a prophet from God is not from God. And they would have something not good on their hands as well. So trap one doesn't really work. They don't want to risk losing the people that they have behind them at this point, so they move on, right? And at this time, God offers them three different parables that you can read on your own time. And he uses these parables to drive home the point that they are rejecting God's grace, that they are self-righteous, and that they are hypocritical as religious leaders, right? And that leads us to trap number two, and that is, who are you allied to, right? Are you allied with Israel, or are you allied with Rome, right? If he says that he is allied with Israel and not Rome, then the Roman authorities can take him, right? And if he's saying that he's allied with Rome, then the people that are following him would leave. So the way that they accomplished this is by sending the Pharisees and the Herodians, right? One's loyal to Israel and the other one to Rome. And they ask him, is it lawful to pay taxes or not? But of course, Jesus being Jesus, he brilliantly turns it on them and says, whose head is on this coin? Caesar's? So give to Caesar what's Caesar's, and give to God what belongs to God. And just like that, trap number two is elaborately dealt with by Jesus. Trap number three, they mention, whose wife will be married to in the resurrection? And you might think, what are they talking about here? So they ask this and they put an example of a wife and a husband, and that the husband had died and married the brother. Did that seven times with the different brothers. If we go to Mark 12, Moses writes for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Right, so that's something that we can find in Mark 12. And they ask Jesus, so if this was to happen, whose wife would she be since the seven were married to her? Right? So at this point, they are thinking that either way that Jesus answers, he would be acknowledging that there is a resurrection. And then maybe the Sadducees can have Jesus tried since they don't believe there is a resurrection. But Jesus again turns it on them and evades the question, right? And tells them, you don't really understand scriptures because you don't understand that God is the God of the living and not the dead. And makes the statement that there is no marriage in heaven, right? So again, Jesus just deals with this, deals with everything that they're coming with against him, right? And lastly, trap number four. So now they are silent, right? They've already tried three times and have failed. They send one last person in, and this person is an expert of the law, and they send him to question Jesus. But this one is different because I feel like Jesus can see something in this person's heart that the others can't really see. So he comes and asks Jesus, which of God's commandments is the greatest? And Jesus says, love. Love your God and love your neighbor, right? This person that came to question Jesus, this expert of the law, replies with this. And he says, well said, teacher, the man replied. And Jesus looks at him and says, you are not far from the kingdom of God. I feel like Jesus can sense something in this person's soul, right? And at the end of this verse, right, at the end of this story, right, it says, and from then on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. I love that the Bible mentions that. I love that the Bible says, hey, and at this point, nobody asked him any more questions. They didn't dare to, right? So all four of these traps were evaded by Jesus. After this is when Jesus pronounces the seven woes of judgment for these religious leaders, which in my opinion are pretty intense. I would say to go and read them. Jesus makes it clear that he's not looking for an ally with any of these institutional authorities, right? Instead, he is overthrowing them for the good of the people. This brings us to the end of the traps. Another day gone, but full of really excitement and a lot of events. So Jesus and the disciples at this point head back to Bethany. And as they do, they enjoy a sunset on the side of the mountain, right? It seems very nice. And they are looking primarily, you can say, at the temple. And at this point, you know, they're admiring it. They're in the sunset. They're probably having a great old time. And Jesus starts speaking to them and tells them there will come a day where there won't be one stone left upon another. And says there will be increased persecution leading up to the final days of judgment for God's people. To remain vigilant and hold fast to the faith. Because Jerusalem, like he had mentioned earlier, is the fig tree. The systems that are there do not produce fruit. and Jesus is bringing a way that will. Amen. The theme is by grace and not by works, right? So as we sit here on this Tuesday, it's good for us to ask ourselves, how well do we understand this, right? In one end, you have people who think they are saved because they go to church, they read the Bible, or because they say a prayer, right? But those things alone outside the grace of God do not accomplish the salvation that we need, amen? They don't bring peace, the peace that we need. Another group of people might say or believe all good people go to heaven, right? Or people that do more good than bad will go to heaven. God wants us to see that it's actually all because of grace. It's all because of Him. Not because of what we do, not because of what we say, so that no man can boast, right? This requires humility. We are sinful people in need of a Savior, amen? This was Tuesday of the most important week in history. See you tomorrow to see what happens on Thursday. Thank you for listening to The Rugged Gospel. I want to thank you all so much for all the stars and reviews and all your support this far. If you haven't, please leave us a review and a rating, which helps the podcast grow and be more visible to people. Make sure to follow us on Instagram for all announcements, and please comment. We'd love to hear from you. And lastly, we're so excited to announce that we are now on YouTube. Please go and subscribe to the channel. The link will be listed below. Thank you all again, and we'll see you on another episode of The Rugged Gospel.